Our scripture today comes from John 15, verses 1 through 10. Let's listen to the word of God together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be ever more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. This is the word of the Lord. Do you join me in prayer? Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of our heart would be pleasing to you. Even here and now, Lord, as we listen to your word, I pray that we may abide, dwell with you, that you would be nourishing us and providing for us so that we might be more fruitful for your kingdom. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, Happy New Year again, everyone. Glad that we can start the new year off together today. I don't know about you, but I find that New Year's can be a bit of an ambitious week for us. We have this restart, this reset in life, and it's often a time where we have deep hopes and longings for change, for moving in new directions. And on the one hand, I think this is a helpful gift that New Year affords us. It is helpful once in a while for us to reset and reflect on who we want to become, where we're headed in life. And I encourage that process of reflection. Yet, we're also likely a bit haunted by our track record of change. As we look back over the cycles we've been through, the process of becoming the people we want to become is often difficult. We often come up short. There was a study I came across a while ago that said 95% of our resolutions are dropped by February. And perhaps those statistics line up with your experience. We long to be fruitful, to become different kinds of people, and yet by February we're back in those old rhythms. Statistic was published in a secular news article, and the commentator had a very theological statement, I think. It said, "Studies suggest, then, that willpower is a limited resource." Willpower is a limited resource. And in many ways, I think that is echoing what Jesus is saying to us in our text today, where he says that apart from me, you can do nothing. Left to our own resources, our grit and determination, our human willpower, we have this tendency to come up short. What I'd like to reflect on with you today is how we might find a different path towards change, a different path towards fruitfulness and growth in our spiritual lives. I believe Jesus shows us a different way forward, an antidote to this continued struggle of striving and failure. What Jesus teaches us in this text is that the pathway towards change requires us to back up a few steps. Instead of just trying to be a good person when we need to rise to the challenge or to try and overcome a temptation when it comes our way, Jesus says that we need to first be asking this question: what is forming us and shaping us as people? What are we abiding in, which is forming us or preparing us for those challenges that are before us? I've shared this reflection, I think, before from Dallas Willard, but I think it's really helpful when he says that spiritual formation doesn't happen on the spot, it happens off the spot. I think a lot of our attempts at change are like on the spot. Okay, when that comes, I'm just going to try and be patient with my kids. I'm going to try and resist that temptation. On the spot, I'm going to just grit my teeth and do it. And Willard says, the bigger question is that we need to ask is, what are we doing off the spot? What are we doing before those challenges come? What are the rhythms in our lives, the influence in our lives that are preparing us, forming us, training us for those moments? Jesus likens our capacity to be fruitful to being like a branch attached to the vine. And this metaphor, on first glance, is rather passive. I've never walked through a vineyard and heard branches and fruit stressing out, like, I gotta grow, right? Trying to be productive. It is actually just the product of the conditions they are immersed in. The product of the soil, the product of the sun hitting the branches, being simply connected to this vine which is providing nutrients. And out of that, slowly, the fruit emerges. What I want to reflect on today is how we might stay connected to those conditions, how we might abide in the love of Christ in 2022 so that this fruitfulness we long for will organically emerge over time as we stay connected to Christ. So how do we abide? How do we stay connected to the vine so that we might become those people that bear good fruit? I want to notice a few words in our text today that I think lead us into this process of abiding. And the first thing that I want to highlight is this word that comes up in the early part of our text, which is the call to pruning. Jesus says in chapter 15, verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will become more fruitful. What this tells us is that this process of formation actually doesn't begin by trying to do more things or adding more things to our plate, but by asking this question, what needs to be pruned away? What are those things that are choking out God's work in our lives, causing us to be so busy that we can't attend to and abide in the love of Christ? Henry Nouwen, a spiritual writer, once said this, Jesus says, I want to make my home in you, but you are never home. Jesus says, I want to make my home in you, but you are never home. Friends, I wonder today with you what those things are that pull you away from Christ, the distractions, the busyness, the clutter of life. What needs to be pruned as we embark on this new year? Cut away so that more fruitfulness can come in our lives. Now, there's a couple things that we need to be aware of, that we need to anticipate when it comes to pruning. One is that it's a bit painful. Sometimes cutting away those things in our lives that we are attached to can feel like loss, and we don't welcome the pruning process very easily. The second thing I think we need to be prepared for is that pruning sometimes involves saying no to good things. It is not necessarily the blatantly evil things that need to be pruned away, but it is those lesser goods, those things that we could justify as healthy things, but they're maybe not the right things or the ultimate things that lead to the most fruitfulness in our lives. I had an experience that really highlighted this dynamic on a metaphorical level for me a few years ago. Down in Longview, our church was deeded a tree farm back in the 1940s. And a couple of wise people on the leadership team back then said, let's not sell this. This might become lucrative for us. And it indeed became a huge source of income for the church. Every 30 to 40 years, there would be a new crop of trees that could help fund mission and ministry. But because of that, as a church, we had to operate a tree farm. And so there was a group of volunteers that would go out and do work parties. And I remember one day, my first day out at the tree farm, Forrester was giving us assignments, and for most of us, he asked us to walk around this section of the tree farm and cut down any birch tree that we could find that was within 5 to 10 feet of a Douglas fir tree. And at first, we were confused about the task because basically, we were spending the day cutting down perfectly healthy and live trees. But this forester had some really profound wisdom for us that I saw as a metaphor for the spiritual life. And he said, in forestry, we're always thinking 40 years ahead. And within a decade or so, if we don't cut down these birch trees, they are going to crowd out the much more valuable fir trees. We want to clear these other things out so that the tree that has the most value and worth will have freedom to grow and become more lucrative. And I thought to myself, what an interesting perspective. I wonder if we too need to have a 40-year perspective on the decisions we make, or a decade-long perspective. What are those things that maybe seem okay or somewhat healthy even, or good, something we could justify as attending to, that in the long-range perspective are going to cut away the deeper growth that God wants to do in our lives? It can be a really clarifying question. Who do I want to become 30, 20, 30, 40 years down the road? And what's getting in the way of that growth from happening? And I think it's sometimes just the daily grind and the distractions of life slowly crowd out, encroach on the deeper things that God wants to do in our lives. So again, I ask you this question. What does God want to prune from your life today so that more growth can happen? And so we have this invitation to pruning. The second word I want to lift up for us today is this word meditating, to meditate on the Word of God. And so Jesus connects this abiding process with allowing his words to abide in us. If my words abide in you, Jesus says. This gives us a clue into one of the ways we can stay connected to the vine. It is by meditating on the words of Christ, to have the scriptures before us regularly, to be allowing those words, those perspectives, those ideas to shape and form us. Friends, we are all meditating on something. We are all shaped by an idea or by a story that defines what the good life is all about. And often, to be honest, we are meditating on a cultural story more often than we are meditating on a biblical story, a biblical truth. So again, maybe there's some pruning involved here. What are some of the words, the influences, ideas I need to spend less time with, and how can I elevate the words of Christ in my life? Now, I want to suggest to us that we need to have a different perspective between studying the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. I think they are both important practices, but sometimes we conflate them. And I know sometimes at the beginning of a new year, we get really ambitious about Scripture. This is the year I'm going to read through the whole Bible. And we've all probably read Genesis 1 to 15 like many times and then kind of lost track and fallen off the bandwagon, right? I think there is a place to read big sections of Scripture and to have that lectio continua, this continual reading of Scripture. There's a needed place for us to study the Scriptures in depth and at length. But at times, I think we also need to supplement that practice with a slower meditation on the Word of God. David speaks about this a lot in the Psalms. He talks about meditating on God's words. Psalm 119 is a great example. And meditation is different than studying because it calls us to slow down and to really meditate and savor and dwell in Scripture. This is what Paul envisions for us. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. I love that language. And my experience with the meditation on Scripture is that we can't meditate well if we're trying to plow through it really quickly. I actually don't think we can meditate well on the Scripture if we're reading a whole chapter. For me, the process of meditating on a word of God has invited me to read just a smaller section, just one story, or just one paragraph from Paul, and to slow down. There's a danger that we can get through the scriptures, but not let them get through us. We can read the scriptures, but not let them read us. And so in supplementing our study and our in-depth reading of scripture, might we create some space this year to meditate and dwell, let the word of God dwell in us richly. For those who are interested in learning that process, we gather on Zoom on Wednesday morning, and we're learning a rhythm of meditating on the Word of God. But what this looks like, for me anyway, that I would suggest to you, is that it is a small section. We read it slowly, and at first we just listen in silence for what we're noticing, what we're observing. And then I encourage people to reread it a second time, and then we ask the Spirit to reveal and connect and apply this to our lives. Lord, what are you speaking to me? What is the invitation here? We want to move beyond just information into transformation, beyond an insight into an encounter with a God who is present. And then we close by responding to God in prayer. So we are praying the scriptures, not just reading them. This is an acronym that I've found helpful if we want to meditate on scripture, if we want to go through this process. It is this acronym REAP. If we want to reap from the scriptures, we might go through these steps where we read slowly. And then at first we're just examining, we're noticing, we're observing what is actually happening in the text, what words are present, what the grammar is telling us. And then, though, we read it again and we go through this next step of applying. We move beyond insight into transformation. What is God saying to me? And then I respond in prayer. We read, we examine, we apply, and we pray. Maybe that might be just a helpful model for a way that we can let the Word of God dwell in us richly this year. And so we meditate on the Word of God. One thing that I've found is really helpful is when there is something really significant that hits you in the Word of God as you're reading, that is the time to pause. Something significant is happening. Don't worry about getting all the insights out of that one paragraph. Just allow God to work with you when something is significant. That is when we pause. So we've talked about pruning, we've talked about meditating. This third word I want to hold up for us is this word obeying. Obeying. And so Jesus goes on to say in our text, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So there's something really confusing here maybe at first, because we've already established the fact that we can't really, through willpower, keep all the commands through human effort. We need to abide in the love of Christ so that we are nourished and equipped to live a life of faithfulness. And yet, at the same time, Jesus says, if you want to abide in my love, obey my commandments. It's this chicken and egg conundrum. Which comes first, and how does this work? I would suggest to us that it's a both and dynamic. The gift of this text is that as we step into these rhythms of obedience, Christ meets us and helps us and forms us. But there is a challenge, an invitation for us to begin this process of stepping into these rhythms of discipleship. It is in the practice that we are formed and that we encounter Christ more fully. And so it is not workspace. We're not left to our own devices. But there is a challenge for us to listen to the words of God and begin to make steps towards that, trusting that God will meet us as we take on these disciplines. This is Richard Foster's wisdom. He says that God has given us the disciplines of the spiritual life as a means of receiving his grace. The disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. We see that God is still the transforming agent. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But we have been given these practices, these commandments, these rhythms of life that as we step into them, God meets us. They are a way that we place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. A metaphor that connects with our text today might be the image of a trellis. And I think Pastor Janet has shared about this before in her teaching on developing a rule of life. A rule of life is just our rhythms of practices, spiritual practices, of meditation, of service, and so on. But you might liken to those practices as a trellis that allows the life-giving power of God to grow around us and in us and through us. The acts of obedience are creating conditions for the power of God to work and grow in and among us. So you might be asking yourself again this new year, what are some of those practices of the spiritual life that will allow me to place myself in light of God, in line with God, so that He can do this growth and this formation in our hearts? This last word I hold up for us is this word loving. We've talked about pruning, about meditating, about taking steps of obedience. One last thing I just want to say about obedience before we move on is just this idea that I think discipleship is more like an apprenticeship. As we step into these practices, we grow not just by studying, but by doing. I was thinking about how I would never want a surgeon to operate on me if they'd only studied it in a textbook. Right? I know all about surgery. I passed all the classes. It is in the doing that there is formation and growth. We are learning skills and new habits, new rhythms, and that's why I think it is in that process of apprenticeship, that training in righteousness, just as we see with the trades and as we see with medical training, so it is with the spiritual life. It is by taking these steps of obedience, of doing, that we are formed. This last word is loving. Jesus says in chapter 15, verse 12, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Here's what I notice in just the context of our passage here, that this call to fruitfulness, this call to abiding, is spoken into a corporate context. Jesus is speaking to a group of disciples. It's implied that they will be in this journey together. What I think is important for us to understand is that it is in community, in loving one another, that abiding happens. That formation happens. I heard an interesting reflection on tending a vineyard from someone who took a course on tending vineyards. And one of the insights was that the fruit, the vines actually have to bend horizontally for the fruit to start growing. I don't know if you noticed that, but the fruit won't just grow on a vertical, but as the vines bend out, that's how the fruit begins to grow. And it's just this metaphor of like the growth happens not just in this vertical connection with the Lord, but as we bend out horizontally into community. It is through community that we are challenged, that we gain accountability, that we are encouraged. It is in community that we sometimes struggle and we have to learn rhythms of loving one another. It is those difficult places that fruitfulness is formed. Raising twins is my monastery right now. That's how God is teaching me patience. It's in the relational context that we grow, that we become fruitful. And so my last challenge to us this new year is let's stay connected to one another in community. We have been through a couple of years that have disrupted our rhythms of connection, have forced us into isolation. And it is hard to foster community and connection even in the best of times. But again, I just hold up this challenge. Let's not just slowly drift away from faith and from church after this pandemic season. But know that we need one another if we seek to grow and be formed. Friends, I pray that in 2022, we might abide in Christ in these ways and so become a place of fruitfulness, a people of fruitfulness, that we might learn to love one another well. And so, as Jesus said, be blessed as we do it. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, that your life-giving sustenance and grace, your wisdom, your word is right there for us to receive. We don't have to do anything to make that possible. You desire, Lord, to pour out your love into our hearts and into our minds. Lord, we thank you that you want to make your home with us. We lament and confess that we so often are not home. So, Lord, call us back into your presence this new year. May we abide, dwell richly with you, with one another, so that we might be formed into the people you desire to lead us to. We pray this in your name. Amen.